Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. And welcome to another episode of Glass Half Full, a podcast and a safe platform where we talk with a variety of teachers, entrepreneurs, spiritualists, uplifters, givers, shakers, and serenaders. Everyone has a lesson to learn and a lesson to share. Let's use our life experiences to enrich someone's heart, mind, spirit, and soul. Through sharing our experiences, we can be a learning inspiration for one another. I'm your host, Chris Levins. Let's welcome today's guest. Today's guest is Antonia. Antonia is a registered holistic psychotherapist, Ayurvedic counselor, yoga and meditation teacher, and has been experiencing an accelerated awakening over the last 17 years, which consisted primarily of releasing pain and suffering at all levels, and the awareness and expansion that has emerged from under the pain. She now shares this energy and the learnings that have come from this process with her clients and in her new book, Dismantling the Third Dimension. Let's give a warm welcome to Antonia. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
How are you today?
I'm very well this morning. Thank you for asking.
Well, we thank you for taking some time out to be a guest here on Glass Half Full. We want to just feel like we say a good morning to you because this morning where you are.
It's wonderful. Thank you.
Yes. Can you tell everyone where you are in the world and what time it is?
Yep. I am just outside of Toronto and it's 9:03 a.m.
Nice. I hope it's a sunny day today.
You know, we're getting much needed rain, so no complaints.
Okay. Hey, we do need the rain as well as the sunshine. Most definitely. All right. We're going to jump right on in. I like to ask all my guests this first question. I believe that our lives are in spiritual design. Can you share your life layout or blueprint with everyone? How you grew up, where, your family lifestyle?
Yeah, so in brief, I was actually born out west in the province of Alberta. And I am the oldest of two girls. My mother left my father when we were infants, and then she remarried. Now, my biological father was adopted, and then the man my mother married then adopted us. So there seems to be this line of adoption coming through. And then we moved all over. We lived all over Canada and even down in the States, in Illinois. And then when I became a young adult, I went into university and I moved all over. So I seem to continue that particular family trend. Well, what do you take from that, Chris?
It does seem like there is some patterning happening, some pathology maybe that's happening. From what I'm hearing, but I don't want to try to throw out anything too quick. You know, we're just getting to know each other. So, but just by hearing that, and since you made the parallel touch on it, it seems like, you know, things are repeating themselves,
it's going to stop now, right? This is the whole point, is to stop the pattern.
Yes. This is it. This is it. We have to come in and interrupt them. We have to come in and interrupt them for that. So tell us now, what is it that you're doing today? Did you, what is it that you studied? Did you go away to university? Do you have any developing education about certain areas?
So I first started out when I was very young, I was extremely compelled to fix the world.
Aww.
So I went. Yeah, I went right into international development, studying women's health, got a graduate degree out east in that, worked down in Latin America for a while, continued to study, continued to go back to university, even went back to go get a PhD at the Institute of Medical Sciences up here. And then it was in 2006, all of that was turned on its head. And I went from needing to fix the world to finally being able to go in and do my own work. feeling safe enough to look at myself. And I understood through a lot of internal work in the 2000s that really I was trying to fix the world as a way of avoiding going in and really looking deeply at my own patterns, at my own pain, at my own ancestry.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And so that brought you to where? Did this happen?
So I shifted into, as soon as I felt able then to work with myself and see myself and work on myself, then I moved from fixing the world to being able to sit one-on-one. So I had this dramatic shift in directions in 2006 with this awakening, and immediately fell into moving over into counseling psychology. I went and got a graduate degree in counseling psychology. At the same time, I was studying Ayurveda and came out quickly with a private practice working one-on-one with people.
Wow.
Yeah.
So can you explain, what does it mean to be awakened? You know, a lot of people hear this, and if you haven't gone through an experience, can you explain, like, what does it mean to be awakened?
Yeah, what does it mean? So I think the meaning of it for me was to understand that I am much more than what my mind tells me I was. Much, much more, much bigger. And that there are many delusions, illusions that our mind and our pain infrastructure tell us about who we are and what life is and what truth is and what right and wrong is and what good and bad is. And when we wake up, we can see this infrastructure that we've been operating out of, which I believe is basically led by ancient pain. And we start to see beyond that.
Wow. Did you have help with this awakening? Was there someone?
I had no help. I had no idea what was going on. It was extremely dramatic. It was happening very quickly. And because I was ensconced at that time in academia and in traditional mainstream healthcare systems and political systems, I was a political activist, that there was zero community and zero reference, no reference point, no understanding of what was going on. So it was really quite frightening that I didn't know who to turn to, where to turn to, where to get an understanding. So I had to go through it primarily on my own. I had a few points of reference, but I was also very protected because, you know, there was this deep shame that was coming through that I had to look at. Because if I turned to anybody that was in my current community and looked to them for validation, I was so certain that I would be shamed, that I would be rejected, that I would be called a, you know, a crackpot. So it was very isolating for me to come from that background and go through this dramatic opening and this shift in realities that I did not understand. But the beauty is, at the same time, that the awakening sort of, you get delivered an understanding. So I was in this tension between this intellectual part of me that wanted evidence, that wanted to know, that wanted proof, that wanted, you know, not to move forward unless I was certain. And this other part of me that was so trying to crack open to go, you know, to introduce a new reality, a bigger concepts of connection and love and trust. And they were really in tension with each other for years. And to some degree, they still are. I can just see the tension more now than I could at the time. So it was a very uncomfortable and extremely frightening time.
Oh, my gosh. And so can I ask, like, how old are you at this point?
I was 36, 35.
Oh, you're still a baby. Yeah. So, I mean, and let me ask you, did you grow up with any type of religion at all? Did you guys, like, practice anything in your household or your family?
No, nothing at all. Okay. I mean, we had the traditional Christmas on one side and Hanukkah on the other, but it was not something for family to come together. It wasn't discussed in religious terms.
So you never went to a church or anything like that? Okay.
Never. It was never discussed. We were all about, you know, more of the secular political narrative around the kitchen table. That's what I grew up with.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, it was a wow.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said, yes. No, it was a wow. That was happening.
Now, are you close with your family currently? Has this changed or what you've gone through? Have they had a chance to, you know, have you had a chance to talk with them about what's happened to see if they are interested to as well as to want to change their, you know, things that are happening?
So, no, in fact, and, you know, I had to let them go.
Oh.
And it's not. Yeah. We're estranged. And
I'm sorry to hear that. You know,
yeah, I think it was sad. And now it's just one of those, it's just something that needed to happen.
How long ago is this? How many years has it been that you've been estranged?
Oh, now it's been more or less 15 years.
Okay, it's been a bit of time. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They couldn't. A lot of it is because, I mean, I teach my clients the essence of boundaries. And I do think that boundaries are fundamental on an awakening process, on a metaphysical process, because when we bring in boundaries, that's when we accept that we are creators of our reality. And it says, I'm going to bring this in and this I need to keep out. This is not part of my reality. And so, because my family were not really open to negotiating new ways of communicating or new ways of having a relationship or understanding each other, that I needed to say, no, I can't allow that level of anger or shaming in my reality. That's not my reality. And so I needed to step away from them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a powerful thing. That
so powerful.
That you've done. Yeah. Wow. For sure. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So tell us about your everyday today with the people that you're working with. I mean, I'm sure it's like you can't tell all about it, but just give us some what happens with a client if they come in. I'm sure there's a variety of things that they're coming in with. What is it that you are aiding them in? Why is it that they are coming to you?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
So there, you're right. They come in with lots of things. And I have some clients who we actually just work in more of the mainstream alternative. So we work, you know, in the, you know, work more on nutrition aspects and exercise, which is what Ayurveda is about, is bringing the body into balance to assist bringing the mind and the emotions into balance. There are others that that come to me to work more from the metaphysical and energetics. So in that group, really, I bring to them a deep seeing of the stories that we carry around in our body that are below awareness. So as you were asking before, what is the awakening about? What does it mean? And when we awaken, we bring in awareness. Oh, look at what I didn't even see before. That's pain. Now I see it's pain. And now that I don't believe it, maybe I can let this go. I don't need to believe it. I don't need to follow it. I don't need to even understand it. So I just need to see that this is what I thought was truth before. And actually, it was just fear and shame and rage trying to tell me my reality. And now I can let it go. So what I do is I bring clients into a state of seeing so that they can see where the choices that they're making, the people that they bring in, the identity that they hold on to, how actually that can be a manifestation of an old pain story.
Wow.
So that this is actually shame telling you what to do. And so when we can see that it's shame telling you what to do, or usually fear telling you what to do, when we really start to see it versus believe the thoughts that are coming out of the fear saying, but I need to be in this marriage, but I need to hold on to this job, even though they're treating me badly, but I need to have this addiction in order to feel safe. When we can see that it's fear telling you versus believing the thoughts, then the fear literally starts to dislodge from the body. You can feel it energetically start to release. And then all of the physical and emotional toxins that are in the body connected to that fear start to go. And then a little part of them wakes up to a truth. Wow. So that's what I do.
Wow. So how much of your energy are you giving? Are you wore out at the end of your day? Like you just fall into the seat when the last person leaves out? Because this is a lot. This is, I mean, because you're giving your energy. Like you, they're coming in and you are working with them. For people who don't understand, like there is energy moving. So you know, she is passing her energy. She is using her energy as well. So how tired are you? Like, tell us about it. Or you feel like, I'm good. You energized?
No, Chris, you're really perceptive. Because it's true, because I'm still going through my process, which means there are, because since 2006, what I've been doing is releasing my suffering constantly, all the time. That's what this body and energy system does. And I'm still releasing it all the time. So when I'm sitting in front of another person and they bring in their story, often it might activate in me something I'm not yet aware of, whether I'm conscious of it or not. Energetically, at a subconscious level, there might be something in me that goes, you haven't seen this yet yourself. So we're all in it. And so really, my being is very much a part of raising their vibration is raising my vibration. Raising my vibration is raising their vibration. So we're all doing the work. So at the end of the day, I'm most grateful and I'm exhausted. Hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is it. Mm-hmm. This is it. Wow. So with all of that, how do you maintain good mental health? Do you have any daily routines? What do you do to take care?
Thousands of routines.
Okay, we'll just share a few of them. A few of the good ones. Yeah. A few of the good ones.
Well, you know, when you're in it, like I am in an intense process. So detoxing is so necessary. Releasing old toxins that we've inherited from our ancestors, all that fear that we've been carrying around for thousands of years. When that stuff starts to come out, it's a heavy process. So we really need to take care of ourselves. So I meditate at least an hour a day, every day. Hmm. I exercise every single day. I eat very clean food. Hmm. I grow food in my backyard to make sure it's free of pesticides and fungus.
Because
up here in Canada, we don't get a lot of fresh food, especially through the cold seasons. So we get a lot of fungus in our food.
Okay.
So, you know, we got to eat clean food. So I eat a lot of clean food. I don't drink alcohol. I don't eat sugar.
Wow.
I don't eat processed food. So I stay very clean to make sure that I'm moving through the stuff all of the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. Woo. All right now.
I see a lot of health providers. I have osteopath, I have yoga practitioners, massage therapists, all helping me all of the time. Yeah.
Wow. 18. And, you know, it's nice that you say that, because sometimes people don't feel that, you know, the professionals are getting help. And it's like, everybody needs some help. You know, like, you can't do everything by yourself, or feeling that you can. So it's nice to hear that you're saying that you have the help of, you know, a variety of other specialists as well coming together to make it happen. You know, and every part of it plays a part, you know. So I love that.
Right. Great point. I think it's so fundamental, because we don't all have it all. That's why we're here learning in this lifetime. And so it's really fundamental to go, you over there, I think you have something to help me. Can you come in and I can get that little vibration over here and that assistance here and that wisdom here, so that we can all assist each other in lifting up to higher frequencies, higher vibrations.
That's it. It's working together, you know, because we're all coming from that one. It's just feeling that we are going to share that vibration and how that will magnify, you know. So that's so awesome. Yes. Let me ask you, we've been talking about the ancestral things. What is ancestral trauma? And what does it have to do with the proceeds of dismantling and a dimension?
Great question again. So good. So ancestral trauma, we have been tormenting each other for thousands of years. And more, even in the mainstream research community, through the study of intergenerational trauma and epigenetics, we are seeing evidence that we hand down our pain generation after generation after generation. So if we have been treating each other very badly for thousands of years, we are handing down in the bodies thousands of years of pain, suffering, discomfort, trauma. I think that that is the sleep state. We awaken. When we awaken, we start to see above these layers and layers of physical, emotional, mental, and the pain in our coding, in our DNA, we start to see above that. We start to see beyond that. So that is what I call the third dimension, is this very constricted, dense pain state that we're in that is very limited. And when we awaken, we start to move beyond those limitations. So it is about releasing ourselves from that pain infrastructure. And the wisdom that's trapped within the pain feeds that expansion, that rise above it. There is so much wisdom underneath that, that when we start to peel back the layers, release the layers of the third dimension, which is this ancient pain infrastructure, we release a whole new beautiful reality that's kind of trapped underneath. We access that, we release that, we expand into that.
So there's a growth from what is coming out. We're getting some, there's a plus side to the releasing of it, not just releasing it, but you're being left with a bit of education on what's happening.
Yeah. I think, in fact, I think the learning is 10 times the pain, which is why when I come across some whatever level of discomfort in my life, I'm like, I can't wait to get to the other side of this, because on the other side of this is a bigger love, is a bigger wisdom, is a bigger truth. Mm-hmm. I believe that that is what many of us are here to do, is to use this discomfort and mine it through learning from it for the wisdom. And because pain is a contracted state, right? You can even see it in our bodies, the evidence of it at the physical level, but at all levels, it's a contracted, limited, dense state. And when we bring the higher frequencies, the energies in there that release us, that open up that contracted state within that, we literally at the all levels expand. And in the expansion, we have the flow of wisdom, of consciousness, of truth, of love that starts to move through what was previously a really limited, contracted place.
Wow. Nice.
Making sense?
Yes, ma'am. I'm following. And if people aren't, they can easily rewind it back in technology today and hear your words again. So, or write it down. But yes, it makes complete sense. It makes complete sense for me. Definitely.
Right.
Wow. That's awesome. That is awesome. What an exciting thing, right? For you to find for yourself to be able to, you know, or that you have been gifted to have the awakening, the understanding, the awareness. Let me get the vocabulary right. That you have the awareness to be able to receive and to see, you know, it's basically in the spiritual eye, and to be able to see in a different way. And with that, you know, you're growing, you're opening up. And I love that you're sharing it with other people, because, you know, some people try to hold on to things for themselves. And, you know, we are really blessed when we give of ourselves and we are giving to others. And that's when, you know, I always feel like when we teach is when you really learn, you know, that's when you really have the true experiences. So you're able to have these true. Yeah. You don't know my mama. Yeah, I'm here, you know. And so we were raised in this kind of thinking as kids, mm-hmm. as family. This is how we have grown up in our family. And it was a normal thing. But people would think that we were crazy sometimes if we would go to school and say certain stuff. So we didn't. But now in this age, it's nice that people are having these awakenings, these aha moments, I think they're calling them now, you know, and it's awesome, you know, that we can change and unbind ourselves from the things that we didn't even know that we were bound to.
Correct. Know. That's awareness. Awareness is the ingredient. Sounds like you grew up in a beautiful family.
Oh, my mom did a great job. And my the women of my family, strong Black women, they did their best. And yeah, I'm proud of that. And we was very, you know, we grew up in a church. My mom is a retired minister. You know, my uncle is a retired minister. So everybody, we grew up, that's why I asked about if you had gone up to church. Because the people at church would have been like, you know, this is where we would have gone to be like, hey, I'm feeling a little bit weird about this. And this is what's happening to me, you know, but where people wouldn't make you feel like you're crazy. Because, you know, what people don't understand, they fear. So.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. But I even think that that can be part of the process, because I think we're moving out of feelings of aloneness and isolation and nobody understands me mm-hmm. into we're connected, you know, we are seen, we are loved. Yes. And so I think that was even part of my process, was to, I had to extract myself from this, the essence of aloneness, of isolation, and move myself, know that I could move myself. I have the power to move myself into connection. Mm. Really part of it. So it sounds uncomfortable. And yet I think that discomfort was so fundamental in me finding myself and finding the one, the unity, the whole that we are.
Mm, yes. What does it mean to be dismantled? What is it that you are saying?
Yeah, that's the awakening. That is the release of the stories of separation. I'm alone. I'm not seen. I'm not heard.
Those are the layers.
That's the 3D. That's the pain. I think all pain at all levels, even physical pain, are all reflections of a part of us that feels abandoned, rejected, alone. All of that shows up in our body as those contracted states. And we're releasing all of that mythology when we wake up, which I think more and more we're doing in much greater numbers. It's quite beautiful.
What is it that you mean by dimension?
You know, that's a great question. I'm not sure I have a really coherent answer, but I think it is the aspects, the varying aspects of a reality. And I think that a third dimensional reality, we could say, is limited by three varying characteristics or aspects. And I think that, you know, higher dimensions then bring in more aspects to that reality. We have access to more of what's going on in the greater truth.
Hmm. Nicely put. I wanted to see, like, what are you going to say with this? You know, like, because we hear the word, but does everybody understand what it, you know, what is it that you're meaning by it as well as the meaning? So nice job. Nice job.
Thank you. Thank you.
You like, Chris, it's early in the morning. You asking all this. Come on now. We thank you. So I want to change a little bit. I want to talk about your book. So why did you write a book? Is it something that you've always wanted to do? Who did you write it for? You know, yes. Tell us about it.
So I wrote the book. I never wanted to write a book. And although it was seen, there was an intuitive I came across in this, somebody tell me what's going on phase of all of this. And they said, you're going to write a book. And it's even in somebody who works with Vedic astrology. So out in, you know, in South Asia, they have the Vedic astrology. It's a very specific type of astrology. And they said, you're supposed to be writing. And I was thinking everybody's crazy because I had no interest in writing a book. A project like that just seemed way too daunting. Mm-hmm. But I kept notes on everything I'd gone through from 2007, I think, onwards. And it was about 2 years ago, I looked at, you know, the notes that I had done and even some video recordings I'd done. And I looked and went, oh, my word, there's a book here. There's actually a book here. Oh, nice. And it became compulsive, you know, this sort of organization of thoughts. I think I'd started a podcast. Somebody said you should be putting your thoughts in a podcast. And so there's this coherence that came out of all of the stuff that I was learning on the other side of all of the discomfort, all the wisdoms that came out and that I was writing down, that there was some coherence that came. And then it became this compulsive writing, this almost, I've got to get this out. It was manic. And then poof, out came this book very rapidly.
Wow. And how many pages? How long is the book?
I think it's very big text and about 250 pages.
Okay.
It's not extraordinarily long. Yeah. And I'm told it's very easy to read. I've gotten amazing reviews. I'm so grateful to hear. Like, people are really connecting to it and writing back that they're really falling in love with it. And you ask, why did I do it? And that's really because that, you know, what I went through, I felt so alone in this. And because I came from that secular academic world, I wanted to create something that would bridge others who were going, you know, might be at this time that I think there's a lot of awakening happening. that it might land in the laps of people who are feeling isolated and not sure what's happening. And, you know, are they fooling themselves? And is there anybody else like me? And I wanted to create a bridge for those into this broader reality, into this process that I think is really happening.
Well, it's another way of reaching people, you know, like everybody's not, you know, that type of person for the social media and using electronics, but, you know, books are, you know, for real. You know, my mom is a big book reader and she's using her iPad. And so sometimes she's like, I just want to turn the pages. Like, I want the book. Like, I want the paper.
Yes.
You know, so.
There's a relationship. Yeah.
This is it. With that.
You're right. A sensuality, right? Yeah.
So that's awesome. Do you think you'll write another? Do you think this is the beginning of something or?
I had three people saying, I see another book coming out. And I'm like,
or am I in your business? You're like, Chris, actually, we're about to release.
Not yet. I mean, they're supposed to be, but I'm going to wait. If there's a click, it'll happen. It'll probably be sort of that frenetic, compulsive writing that will happen again.
Well, you know, I always say when it's meant to happen, it will happen. You know, exactly. What has to be said, you know, and you're willing to say that you'll be used to say it. So it'll happen when it's supposed to happen. You know, as long as you're open to it and you feel like, yes, then yeah. And it sounds like you're open to it. You know, it's nice to have resources.
I think that's the point of this. Yeah, I think it's to be open, period, and
yes.
to see where your resistance is so you can move that into flow. And so if it's going to come, it's going to come, and I'm going to try and keep my ego from fighting it.
Yes, and you know what, the ego, thank you for speaking on that. You know, it's a strong thing. It has a... And sometimes we're caught into that. Yeah, sometimes we're caught into it, not even realizing that it has taken over, that it has pushed its head up, you know. So, yeah, thank you for even touching on that. So let me ask you, who brings you back to reality when maybe you have gone too far away from it? Or who's that rock or that person you lean on?
I think, you know, it's so fascinating that when I'm rolling around and wrestling with something, usually that day or that week, there'll be a client or two that will bring the same story into focus and I'll be able to see it better.
Okay.
I'll be able to see it, with new eyes. So, you know, my clients reflect back at me what I'm supposed to be looking at and haven't yet been able to see.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
Which all of us do. And if we're lucky enough to know that we bring our clients in and our people in, our world is brought in to show us where we're stuck, then we can use that to our advantage. It's beautiful. Really beautiful. I'm so grateful to my clients. So grateful.
Mm. Now, are these people, have you been working with them for a long time, for years? Or is it like, how long is it a client usually that you're working with? Or how long is your longest, oldest client?
Oh, good question. So I think 13 years, 14 years.
Okay. So it's not just like it's a 2-year client. Okay. We got some time, you know, just asking.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. So they're like an extended point of family in a sense, if they are, you know, because just about how you guys are sharing, you know, like it's a little more personable for them, you know, when we're dealing with.
I mean, they don't know. They don't know what I'm going through. I don't tell them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it might have been in the book. Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't share any of my clients' details. My clients don't know. But there is like, they are aware of the process in general, not the individual details of it.
So you don't use your, so you never use your testimony to empower them about what has happened. Do they know that you've ever had any trauma?
Yeah, most of them know that.
Okay.
Yeah, I just don't bring it into session, I think is what I'm saying.
Okay. That's
but understandable. A lot of them know that.
Okay.
But not everybody. Not everybody's sort of walking this particular path, but those that are, then, you know, we speak the same language or they're ready to hear the language. They're aware of my journey. A lot of them have been following me on my podcast.
Because this is it. If they're following you on social media, they would know about what is going on in your in your personal Okay. Right. So it's fine if they take that step. You're, you know, because you're already out on the social media network anyway.
Yeah. And yes, exactly. I mean, those that want to find me will be able to find me. But I kind of stay hidden from those that don't need to see that part of me, right?
Like, no, of course.
Some people just need a good therapist to talk about how to fix their relationship with their sister.
And, it's true. And they don't want to know about cat dog meow. You're right.
Exactly. Yeah. So those that are quote unquote meant to, because a lot of the clients, like they've been seeing me for years now without even, you know, I don't push anybody into a process, but energetically their whole energy systems start to shift and change. And they start to then release trauma and pain and ignite and activate this process in and of themselves. So I'm like, that's why you came to me 2 years ago, because you needed to be here for this. We needed to activate this. So there's usually a reason when they're hanging around for a while, that there's a process that we are creating, co-creating together. And that's why they're there.
Nice. That's beautiful. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a privilege to work. Wow. I'm sure it must be, because you're seeing how they are growing and healing. And like, you know, most of the time we don't get a chance to be a part of that process, you know.
Yeah. No.
So you're in a special place of, you know, healing for them. So that's, yeah, in that sense. Mm-hmm. Wow. Nice.
Witnessing rather than being part of it.
Okay. A place witnessing. Witnessing. Look, thank you. Please fix my vocabulary about it. Yes. Because that's different, you know, witnessing and being a part of is that's a big difference. So,
yeah, you're true. It's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So let me. Oh, yes, it is beautiful. It is beautiful. Yeah. The work that you do it's powerful. Powerful. Can I ask you, what's one question that everyone should ask themselves?
I think everyone should ask, is this my stuff or theirs?
I love it. Right? I love it. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I love it. That is great.
I'm so glad you get it. I'm so glad you get it. Because we confuse it, right? We confuse. Yeah, we don't want to own our stuff, or we have to take responsibility for somebody else's stuff that's really not about me. And I think we mush it up and confuse it and make it messier to get in there and really heal and evolve when we mush it all up.
Yeah. That is great. That's t-shirt worthy. Yeah, like that's good. Right? That's t-shirt worthy. I would crack up if I saw that on someone's shirt. Hey, a few ideas for you, right? Yeah.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I would totally buy one. If you put them out, I would totally get one. Definitely.
Fine, I'm making a note.
So tell us about, what is alchemy awareness?
The alchemy of awareness.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it is seeing the true power of seeing, of really acknowledging that, you know, if I'm uncomfortable, it's my fear that's taken over, versus believing the story, they're a bad person, or they're wrong, or it shouldn't be this way, but to see that it's my fear. So to be aware that there's an emotional root, that we have pain in there, to be aware of it starts to transform it in and of itself. And I feel it constantly when I bring clients, as I said, into that, activate that pure awareness. Oh, I see it. This is just fear. There's actually nothing happening. This is just fear. So that pure awareness creates transformation, creates expansion, just awareness. Yeah.
Wow. Nice. And which leads us to your podcast.
Yes.
Yes. So tell us about your podcast. Now, I know you said about the book. Was this something that they were like, we see a podcast for you, and you're like, okay? Or is this something you felt like, you know what? This is something that I want to do.
Yeah, it actually came from a couple of clients who said, you know, when I was talking to them or sharing something, they say, you need to make a podcast. You need to put this on a podcast. And so I did. And the podcast would just ended up being just reflections that I knew clients were really receiving. And so I put them into audio format and threw them on a podcast and said, here, go listen to this. And I don't have to talk at you through session. You can go and absorb it that way. And that's what it turned into. just reflections.
Yes, we love it. And it is really, like, I've listened to a few episodes, really nice, dismantling the third dimension. Yes, the same as the book. The same title
as the book. Same as the book.
So yeah. that I'm repeating both, but they're both separate things, but the same title. The same title.
Yeah, exactly.
Which everyone can find.
The podcast.
Yes, the same place you're listening to this, you can find her podcast as well, Dismantling the Third Dimension. All that information will be underneath the tab as well. So how has it been for doing the podcast? Because you're doing a lot.
It sounds like
you're doing a lot.
Yeah, too much. Yeah, it's that compulsive. Now that I'm in the book thing, I'm busy with the, you know, trying to bring the book into, you know, awareness. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, there's a lot happening. It seems, and it was, as I said, at the end of this compulsive process, like mm-hmm. kind of, and I'm looking to slow it down a bit soon. Mm. But
thank you for your honesty on
that. But the podcast is, what's that?
I said, thank you for your honesty on that, to say that it's, mm-hmm. you're doing a lot, like there's a lot going on right now. So, and hey, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
No, please.
Yeah, I think, you know, it for me is antithetical to what I really want in all this busyness, to really where I think that potential lies in silence and quiet and doing nothing. Mm-hmm. I love nothing.
Yes.
I love what emerges out of nothing. I love the awareness that comes when you sit still.
Yes,
right?
Which this is why when you sit still. Yes, yes.
Yeah. I love silent retreats. I love leading meditation yoga retreats. I love them because the learning, the healing, the expansion comes when you sit still with something and be with it with acceptance. It's beautiful. And so, this busyness is something that I'm hoping to shift out of shortly. Hmm. It's a bit too much for me right now.
Yeah. Hmm. And you know what? I think that it's okay to say, to be honest, be like, yes, it is too much. You know, I think that when people mm-hmm. go the opposite way and don't say, then people feel like, oh, then they can add on something else. Oh, they can, you know. So when you know enough is enough for yourself, that is it. Because it's about self. You have to know when, okay, let me pull back. You know, because, what happens, we know, is the other way. People are getting sick or things are happening or there's all this, you know, stuff that's happening because they've overpushed themselves. So knowing when, you know, I'm doing too much for myself is the same. I'm able to just pull myself back like, okay, you know. So that awareness, again, to know that,
correct.
Yeah, we don't want to get too far on it. So
out of balance or follow some pain story, which says, but I have to be everything for everybody, or I have to be able to do it all, or I'm not good enough and I have to prove I'm good enough. You know, those are the stories that we're actually being driven by when we push ourselves out of balance. And so we need to see when we're out of balance so we can pull back and go, there's something in here that I need to bring awareness to.
Mm. Yes, indeed. I agree. So what would you say was the best advice that you were given that you actually used? I'm sure that you've gotten a lot of advice, but.
Yeah, there's two core. One is practical and one was a reflection. So the reflection, and I'm not sure if I was given, if it was co-created. One is, if it's not love, it's BS. Hmm. It's not right. It's not real.
Okay.
And number two, if I have to exercise a lot, I got to move a lot. If you don't do it, it's going to get very uncomfortable. And I went, okay, I'm moving a lot. I'm moving every day, exercise every day, because if I didn't do that, then I would be, it would be really sticky and really uncomfortable. So those things probably keep me going every single day.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And you are you teaching yoga? Are you a yoga mm-hmm. instructor or?
Yeah, so I am a certified yoga teacher, but okay. I only bring the yoga in one-on-one with my clients to advise them on the kinds of yogas or the specific poses that would be good for them, what would work for them, you know, what types of yoga would best suit them.
Okay. And we've been hearing this word Ayurveda a few times mentioned, it was spoken about, and I know people were like, what is this? Who is this? Or what is this? Can you explain?
Yeah, so Ayurveda is the oldest healthcare system in the world. It's been around for thousands of years, comes out of South Asia. There's a lot in Ayurveda, but some of the principles of Ayurveda is that to be healthy is to be in a state of balance, and everybody has a unique state of balance. So what is in balance for you is going to look different than what is in balance for me. Mm-hmm. And that the wisdom of our planet through nature, through herbs, through air, through water, that those interventions, we can bring those into our lives to help us bring us into balance. Hmm. There's a lot of intelligence, natural intelligence, consciousness that is in our food and in our herbs and in our environment that we can access, that wisdom that we can access in order to bring us in balance. So we could be out of balance, meaning I'm going too fast, my body's going too fast, my nervous system's going too fast. What do I need to bring in to slow me down? Mm-hmm. I'm running too hot, my metabolism's going too hot, I am getting ulcers, which is sort of a hot thing. What do I need to cool myself? I am not moving enough, I'm feeling sluggish, I'm getting depressed, so things are inert. What do I need to bring in to move me? And there's a lot of wisdom on our planet to help us move into those states of balance. So
and is this by like eating foods or herbs, or actually is it through a meditational thing or...
So all of them, actually, Ayurveda uses everything as an intervention, but one of its key interventions is diet. So a diet, you know, if you're going to go see an Ayurvedic practitioner, they're going to start recommending, for example, foods for you that will assist bringing you into greater states of health.
Okay. Mm. Nice. I've heard something similar to this, but I can't recall the name of it now, that they do in India. But something a little along the lines of this, so something about dealing with the diet and nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, how long have you been, a part of this?
Oh,
living.
This is really interesting. In 2007, I had my one and only sort of prophetic dream, a dream that talked to me. And in this dream, it was in the morning, there was a circle of women like sitting in chairs, looking at each other, talking with each other. And I was standing outside. And then one of the women with his long brown hair spun around in the chair and looked at me and said, Ayurveda. And I said, what? And she said, Ayurveda. And I said, okay. And then I woke up, it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and I started to cry. And I didn't know why I was crying. It was like this emotional release, like something, another weird thing was happening to me, which there was so much weirdness at that time. Mm-hmm. And I went over to the computer and I started, I put it in and I spelt it all wrong because I had never heard the word before. And up popped the only Ayurvedic school in Canada, which was 4 subway stops away.
Oh, wow.
And then it was there that I learned, because I had already been in this sort of strange process for a year and a half, that actually Ayurveda is the healthcare system to accompany, to assist somebody who's going through a spiritual emergence, awakening, a kundalini awakening, wow. that is the healthcare system. Bring in the wisdom, to bring in the consciousness into your body to help you move through. I had no idea. Wow. I learned all this. So that was the dream that, and the last dream I've ever had. I'm waiting for somebody else to tell me what to do next and nobody will. But I had it that time. I was very grateful. It was, I guess I was going way off course and then he needed to give me some direct direction.
Oh, and that's a direction, right? That is a halt in the road there. It's like, okay.
Exactly. So clear and scary because I was walked in going, am I crazy? Like, is this real? Like, what am I doing? And I found, a community from that healthcare perspective that got it. In fact, my teacher, I went in, and saying the last 2 years, all this crazy stuff's happening to me. And she says, oh, dear, you're just going through a kundalini awakening. And I'm like, OK, what does that mean? Right. So I had a bit of an environment there.
And this is it. You found people who understood what you were going through in a spiritual type way that was like, yeah, we get it. We understand.
Yeah.
And you felt like, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy. And like, help me, you know, like, what's going on here?
Exactly. They understood it more than I did. Yes. You know, I was having releases, crying in the middle of like they'd bring out a singing bowl or bring in a new herb.
Oh yeah, you were breaking it. Yes. Oh yes. Yeah, that's so exciting for you. I love it.
It was. It was beautiful. It was truly beautiful. It was absolutely the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, it was lovely.
Mm. Thank you for breaking that down so we understood about that. And people can now go and check it out as well. And where is it? You said Southeast Asia, because I'm in Japan. Where in Southeast Asia? Where is it located? Do you know?
It's from originally from South India, but you know, it's out of India.
Okay.
I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice, nice, nice. I love it. I love it. Let me ask you, so what does the present moment have to do with shifting dimensions? We've talked about things happening from the ancestral. We've talked about other things that are happening around. Tell us about the present moment.
So in present moment, when we sink all levels of ourself just into now, then we're not sitting in story. We're not sitting in ancestral trauma. We're not sitting in these years and years of pain. When we bring our being into present moment, we allow the wisdom of consciousness and all that intelligence that's out there in that not so dense place. Now we give it room to come in because we're not all activated in these stories that are all about the past. We're not reliving all of the past and bringing it into our mind and our body. When we sink into present moment, we bring in the now, and in the now is perfect wisdom, perfect intelligence, perfect love. So that, I think, is the present moment is the ultimate medicine.
So because it's in the present, we are able to actually deal with it and understand it in its real, in the true form. Is that what you...
I mean, and I think that, the longer we sit in presence, in the silence, the more we're able to see the stories for what they are versus being caught up in them and believing them. Because when a story's spinning around in our mind, you know, a judgment, then we believe it. We think it's truth. When we get really quiet, then we start to see things for what they are. We really, our whole beings start to get infused with that intelligence of awareness. And that's what we activate, and we can start to see things from that place of love, from detachment, from some space. And that literally starts to rearrange our inner furniture, and we then can let go of stories when we bring awareness to them. We go, I see you. I remember once being in an argument with my partner, and I was calling him defensive. And then I went away on a silent retreat, and about 4 days into the silent retreat, I was in one of the meditations, and suddenly it clicked. It's not him being defensive. It's me. I'm the one who's being defensive. And it took that 4 days of sitting in that pure seeing, bringing in more awareness, bringing in that healing energy for it to be safe enough and for me to be present enough for me to go, this is not about him. This is me. Yeah, me creating some idea.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So all of that presence... That is not about the past and all the stories of what we think is right and who we think we should be and all the shame and the rage and the fear and all that. If when it's not there, we access our ultimate truth. And from that, the more we bring that in, the more we can see the stories, the pain, the traumas that are trying to tell us what's real and actually is not.
Mm. Yes. Mm. Antonia, give it to us. Give it to us. Yes, here, here. Indeed. Yes, indeed. I love it. I love it. Well, I like to close with this final question. Is your glass half empty or half full?
Yeah, my glass is half full and rising, dear.
Yes, yes. We like a rise. We like a rise. Yeah.
She's filling up. Yes. She's filling up.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Nice. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
I guess, you know, for...
I mean, you've shared a lot of anybody, great stuff, but I know. Go ahead. Give it to us. Give it to so us.
Glad. So glad. Yeah, I guess it would be, you know, if anybody who happens to come across this, who is going through a, I don't know what's going on, there's weird stuff happening, to know you are not alone. There is no such thing as alone. Hmm. Keep going, and you're going to find your peoples. You're going to find your connection. We're here. We're all here.
Oh, I love that. Yes, we are here. We are here. And, you know, in today's society, in today's times, there are ways to reach out, right? There's, you know, we have the social media, which before, you know, that wasn't it. You can get on and there's lots of podcasts that people can listen to, as well as, you know, they can contact people as well and find coaches and, you know, things online, people to be able to find resources and help as well. So, definitely. It's a new age that there are more tools that are accessible. So for that, nice. People like you have helped to make. So thank
you. Yeah, it's a different era. There's all sorts of technologies of connection. So we are really fortunate right now.
It's true, mm-hmm. right? Compared to like the 70s and 80s. I mean, that's all I can talk about. But, you know, like this is different. This is huge. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's nice that people are more aware about what's going on. So, yes, thank you. We want you to continue to keep sharing and doing what you're doing. For sure, we'll be continuing to look for you. For sure.
Oh, thanks. Ditto, right back at
you. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Can you tell everyone how they can reach you if they're interested to find out more about you or maybe even contact you for a session? Do you do online work as well?
Yep. I'm actually all online right now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cause you know, that's the new thing now, right? Everybody can be all over the world and be like, hey, let's zoom in or whatever. That's so yes, please tell us, how can we reach you?
So everything can be found on a website, which is www.tribetocollective.com.
And that's all one word, people. And that's just the T-O, no double O, T-O, tribetocollective.com. It'll be listed as well.
That's great. Yep, tribetocollective.com. Getting one-on-one sessions is, you know, difficult. That there's a wait list right now.
Yes, wait list.
So I love to do work in groups. Groups are better in many ways. We share our energy. So more and more I want to creating group works, which is meditations and teachings and, you know, and sharing each other's energy, finding beautiful ways of connecting through all the stories, through all the pain, healing the pain. So the group retreats is what I'm going to be doing more and more, particularly I think down in Mexico. I'm looking for places down in southern Mexico to do the group work.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, we'll be looking for you for sure. Thank you so much for taking some time out to be a guest here on Glass Half Full. We're so happy that we had you in today.
Chris, it was so lovely connecting with you. Truly. Yes, what an honor to be here.
Yes, for you in the morning. And you sound like you have like a 12:30 afternoon voice. So I'm impressed. Like...
I'm up at 5 meditating here.
Oh, okay. Yes, remember? You sound like, I get it. My uncle is one of these as well. I get it. Okay. You've been up.
I've been up.
You've been awakened for sure. Thank you again. Have an awesome day. Yes. Thank you again. Have an awesome, awesome day. And we appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you to all our listeners listening in to another episode of Glass Half Full, a podcast and a safe platform for everyone to share their life experiences. Once again, I'm your host, Chris Levins. Please subscribe, follow, and rate this podcast on Apple Music and Spotify for more learning experiences. Until next time, know you are blessed. See ya.